Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You happy to be in church today? Praise the Lord. Well, you better be because you came to the right place at the right time. Amen. Glory to God. You know, someone once told me that there is three parts to every service. There is God's part, there is the pastor's part, and then there's the people's part. Praise the Lord. Well, God has done his part. I believe that I've done my part. Glory to God. And even if you won't do your part, well, we're going to get there anyways. Amen. But I'm glad that you showed up here today. I'm glad that you came to get something. I know some of you might not be here exactly for church, but you might be here for a wedding. But it doesn't matter. You showed up anyways. There's something that God has for you too. You may think you came for a different purpose, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life, whether you knew it or not. Amen. Glory to God. And you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be shy about it. Amen. Because God loves you. He cares about you. He has thoughts about you. He has thoughts about you from before you were born, when Jesus hung on the cross and died for you just as much as he died for me. He hung there thinking about you and having a plan for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to get into some of that today. We're going to be talking about faith. Today's message, glory to God, is called Faith for Overcoming. Amen. You know, I once heard this, and I like the sounds of it. I like how it sounds, but there is lots of truth to it. But faith is the currency of heaven. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you want to purchase what heaven has got for you, if you want to gain what heaven has got for you, praise the Lord, it will be found in faith. Faith is the way that you get it. Faith is the way that you reach God. You know, we teach along these lines often, but we're going to continue teaching along them today. You know, I sought the Lord for the message that we'd have me minister today. As some of you may know, last week I was not in the pulpit. I was not here. I was traveling. I went to Branson, Missouri. I was there for some special meetings with Reverend Greer, and I got a lot of impartations. And if you were in the service last night, you may have experienced some impartations. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You may say, what's an impartation? Well, it's just when you get something real good. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. An impartation is when you get something, when you go somewhere looking for something and you leave with it, that's an impartation. Amen. And that's what I went for. I went on that trip. I received a lot. Glory to God. And some of it came out last night, but we are not fools to think it would only come out in one night, but it would come out in 2 days at least. Amen. When you get a whole week of filling up, how many know that? You know, if you got a gas tank, anybody here have a gas tank? You have a car with a gas tank. If you fill that gas tank, even if it doesn't get great gas mileage, it takes you a little while to empty it. Amen. You're not just going to get out there and go down the street and empty a gas tank all in just a few minutes, but it takes some time. Well, my gas tank is full to overflowing. Amen. We have had to get some reserve tanks backed up, so you just have to forgive me if I share with you some of that. Amen. But that's why I go away. I go away to make sure that the gas tank is full and that we keep going in the direction that God has us to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 4:13. Praise Jesus. 2 Corinthians, you might be sitting there saying, I don't know where 2 Corinthians is. I'm going to give you help. Anyone know where 2 Corinthians is? Right after 1 Corinthians. Amen. That's right. And if there was a 3 Corinthians, it would come just before that. Amen. Hallelujah. What's back there in the Bible? I'm in Colossians. That's not good. Philippians, Ephesians. Neither of those are 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, if you found any of those, 2 Corinthians comes before that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Amen. Glory to God. I'm so glad for the word of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13, and it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Amen. You know, of course, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he is talking about having the same spirit of faith, the same spirit of faith that Christ had, the same spirit of faith that the early church had, the Jews had, the same spirit of faith. We have that same spirit of faith. Of course, this is the faith that was delivered to help people. Amen. But it says, I believed and therefore I spoke. Yeah. And he goes on to say, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, you know, you may be wondering, what does this have to do with you? Maybe you don't even know what the faith of the saints was. There's many Christians that don't even know what the faith that was delivered to the saints was or what it was about. But the principle here, the principle that is being shared here, is that out of your mouth comes what you believe. When you speak what you believe. How many know that not everybody speaks the truth? But a lot of people speak what they believe. You can talk to people and get opinions a bunch of different things, can't you? You can look at a bunch of different places and get lots of opinions on different things. You know, if you follow politics at all, you can see that there's plenty of opinions to be had. But they're all spoken generally out of a place of belief. They speak from a place of belief. And the Apostle Paul is drawing this connection and the importance of what we speak. And more importantly, what we believe. And we can know what we believe by what we speak. If you say, well, I don't believe in God, well, then that's your belief and you're speaking that, amen? Or I don't believe this. You could say, well, I don't believe this word here. Well, you're saying I don't believe God. We know that your faith is not in this God, amen? And so we can see that very clearly just by what you say. How can I know? You know, a lot of people talk about judgment and stuff like that. You can't judge me. And I think that's foolish because people make judgments all the time. There is nobody, even a person, even if you say you can't judge me, you are making a judgment. Amen? And so people make judgment calls all the time. And so to say don't judge me is just really a foolish way of saying don't look into my life and try to see something that, you know, or it's saying don't look into my life and seeing something that's there. Amen? Is generally what it's saying. But judgment calls are made all the time. Judgment calls are important. Right. How many know, is there anyone in here with a driver's license? Yes. Yes. Amen. Well, there's at least a few in here with driver's license. Yes. Is there anyone in here who knows somebody with a driver's license? Yes. That should be everybody, right? If you don't know somebody with a driver's license, just look up at here at me. I have a driver's license. It's been legally given to me by the state of New York. Glory to God. Thank you, God, for the state of New York, for they have given me the license to drive. I have the license to drive. I can legally go out there and start any vehicle that I am allowed to drive, get into it, and drive that vehicle, amen? And you can have a license to drive various different kinds of vehicles, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Where was I going with all that? And maybe I just wanted to talk about driver's license. What was I saying before that? Does anyone have... Judgment calls. Yes, thank you. That's where I was going. See, sometimes I just need a reminder to get back on the track, and then we'll take off where we were. Amen. Judgment calls. So if you have been given a license to drive, you get behind a wheel of a vehicle, and I hope by God that if you have a license to drive and you are driving a vehicle, whether it belongs to you or not, actually, I don't even care if you have a license. If you're going to get behind the wheel of a vehicle, I hope that you make some judgment calls. As you're driving down the street and you see a light that turns red, I hope you judge that it should be good that you stop. If you don't stop, there could be trouble on the other side, especially if I'm coming from the other direction with the green light, because I'm judging that green light means that I can go. And you know, see, we put so much stock and so much faith in something as simple as a traffic light. I mean, some of us do. There's plenty of people that don't care about traffic lights, and then we have problems on the road, amen? But judgment calls. When you see a stop sign, you make a judgment call. Amen. Sometimes, you know, as I'm going through life, I make a judgment call. We like to go not rock climbing, but see rock climbers or places where people climb rocks, I should say. We like to get up to the edge sometimes and look, but there's a judgment call that says, I'm not going to get too close. So we need to make judgment calls. Making you're a fool if you make no judgment calls, or if you think that you don't. We do all the time. Amen. I say this all the time with people who are raising kids. You know, if you have kids, glory to God, you better judge your kids' friends. There's some people that don't do that. Kids, the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Glory to God. What does that mean? It means that a child does not have the capability of choosing correctly. They will make foolish decisions. And so they might not know. Now, I had some friends. I just saw one when I was out in the Kansas area. Glory to God. And we were reliving some of the foolish things that we had done. Amen. There was a lot of judgment calls that weren't very good. Amen. But we need to judge right and judge accurately. The best way to be able to judge is by the direction of the Holy Ghost through the Word of God. Amen. I believed and therefore I spoke. You will make judgment calls in your life based on what you believe. If you believe that a red light means that there's a green light on the other side, then you know that you have to stop or you could cause an accident. Now, you might get lucky and just cruise right through that red light and never have an accident. Maybe there isn't somebody coming from the other side, but I can guarantee you, if you go to an area that's very busy, a big city, and you cruise right through that red light, you're going to almost definitely have an accident.
Sure.
And so we have to judge things based on where we're at and what we're doing and the things that are around us. Amen. But I believe, therefore I spoke. And you're going to speak. Again, look at what you're speaking and you will know what you're believing. What we believe matters. Amen. What we believe matters. Maybe you don't believe in red lights. I don't know why I'm on this red lights, but it seems to be good. Maybe you don't believe in green lights. It matters still whether you believe in it or not. You know, there's plenty of people say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in that stuff you preach. Well, you don't have to believe in this. But it's going to matter for your life whether you do. It makes all the difference in the world. In fact, the difference my wife was explaining to you, now I wasn't an atheist, she was. I was a backslidden Christian. The way that God fixes a backslidden Christian is to send him an atheist. Amen? And so that's one who doesn't believe in him. He's saying, well, you believe in me, but you aren't listening, so I'm going to send you somebody who will believe in me, but doesn't currently. Amen? And that's exactly what happened. But how we believe matters. My wife and I lived a different life because of the way we believe. The life that you lived the life that you live today has nothing to do with what's happened to you, has nothing to do with the way that you were raised, it has everything to do with what you believe. How do I know this? Because you can change your life according to what you believe. If you are in a situation you don't like being in, you can be out of that situation by changing your belief. If you're with somebody, if you're sitting next to somebody right now, look at the person next to you, say, the person sitting next to me right now is no good for me. All they do is cause me problems. Well, you get up and move to a different seat. Go find somebody. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. But you understand. But what you believe about something makes all the difference in the world. And so if you believe in God, if you trust in God, you're going to find that there are answers that you can get for your life that didn't exist the day before or the minute before. Amen. And this is the thing that we found. I come from a background of that wasn't necessarily, I like to say this around our circles, that I'm a pastor who wasn't made from spare angel parts. I wasn't raised thinking that I was going to be a pastor, that I was going to be living a good life. I abused drugs. I fornicated. Fornication. I was doing all kinds of things with all kinds of different women that I shouldn't have been doing. Praise the Lord. Outside of marriage and stuff like that. So I was doing things that were opposite of the way that I would live now. I believed that stuff was okay, but I kept getting into issues. I kept getting into problems as I would partake of that lifestyle, my party lifestyle, and the lifestyle that was just doing whatever I wanted to do. I mastered doing me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You do you. That's a popular phrase today. Your judgment call should be this. I don't care who you are, but your judgment call should be this. The phrase you do you is about the dumbest thing that you can tell somebody to do. Why is that? Because you don't have any idea what somebody thinks they ought to do. And if you just tell them to go do them and what they do is really dumb, then that's a dumb thing to tell them, isn't it? Amen. What if doing me was going to rob a bank? Yeah, how many of you would say that's dumb? Amen. How would have doing me was punching you in the face. You would think that's pretty dumb. Amen. Glory to God. And then doing you might be punching me back, and that certainly wouldn't help matters. And then we would be in a thing called a fight. And how many people like fights? Fights aren't good. Fights don't bless us. They don't do anything for us. But what they do is they tear us apart. And so we understand that you doing you isn't necessarily a good thing. In fact, you know, I was reading once. I was watching a documentary. Has anyone ever heard of a man named Charles Manson? Amen. Charles Manson was, and maybe you like Charles Manson, but that man was whacked. He was what we like to call whack-a-doodle. He was out there. He was not sane. He was completely insane, and he did things that were completely insane. Did I say that twice? But he did. He did it more than once. Amen. So I can at least say it twice. Praise the Lord. But so we understand that he did things that were completely insane. But one of his mottos was basically you do you. Do what makes you feel good. If it makes you feel good, do it. Well, you teach a bunch of people to do what makes them feel good. And if it's opposite, or what if making what makes me feel good is taking from you, stealing from you. And see, these are all principles, of course, we see in the word that people like to resist. But the word puts us in a place where we're not doing us. We're doing what's right. Amen? Or you should be. Now, that doesn't mean that every person that professes to be a Christian does right, because I've met lots of Christians that don't do right. But my job as a minister of the gospel is to, one, tell people about God, but also to teach people how to do right. And I wouldn't have known that unless somebody had taught me how to do right. Amen? And the do right is not by man's standard, but it's by God's standard. And when you follow us, you see, our standards can change. Has anyone thought, if you are over the age of 40 in here, I'll say that, you surely think differently than you did 20 years ago. And if you didn't, you've had no personal growth. And if that's the place where you're at, well, I'm sorry for you. But, you know, as you grow, we definitely learn, or you should learn, more than what you knew before. Just by life experience, you will know that certain things are not good. It didn't take me very long to learn that a hot stove is not something I wanted to put my hand on. But the same thing goes with life. I'm not going to spend my life putting my hands on hot stoves. Amen. You understand, metaphorically speaking, like if something burns, then I don't keep putting my hand on it, or I go right back into that realm of being a fool. I go right back into that realm of not using my mind. You know, and some people have conditions. Some people have mental conditions that force them to do foolish things over and over again. And so that's a very real aspect of it. But how do we change all this thing? We change it by adapting what we believe. When we understand what truth is, the Word of God is truth. Amen. And the speaking part of it is important, and I think the speaking part of it is so important because it reveals what we actually believe. It helps us. Amen? Glory to God. You speak what you believe, and what you believe can affect what you receive. Amen. Anybody who is a successful businessman or something like that, they will tell you that your mindset and your attitude mean everything. Amen. I said your mindset and your attitude mean everything. If you think that you are just going to sit around and have money come to you, that's a foolish way of thinking. That's not a way to be successful in life. Amen. Glory to God. Well, it isn't in all other areas either. You know, it's funny because as a pastor, I've heard this many times. I've heard it just as a person so many times. But people will talk about, you know, they're going to have God based on what they believe of God. But how many know if God is real? Let's just say that. Let's say if God is real. I know we don't know that for sure, right? But if God, that's a joke, praise the Lord. If I didn't know that for real, I am surely wasting my time. I mean, I have spent a lot of time wasting a lot of time. Amen. But if God is real, if he's actually real, how many know that if something, you take a rock, a big rock. I got big rocks in my yard because we've been putting them there. And so we got these big rocks, and I cannot believe that rock is heavy. But that doesn't mean if it falls on me that it's not proved to me that it is. And you see, the same thing is with God. You can deny or you can make God be what you want him to be in your own mind, but that doesn't change the reality of who he is. You know, and a lot of people say, well, how do I know to believe you? You say, I'm not telling you to believe me. Telling you to believe the Bible. The Bible is what tells us about God. This is how we know about God. You say, well, that was written by man. How do we know that? Well, it was written by man, inspired by God, and it's been proven over and over and over again. How many know of a thing called gravity? We don't have to reprove gravity, amen? If you think you need to reprove gravity, you're going to what? Waste your time. All you need to know is that the way gravity works is that if you put it out there in the air, it's going to come down. Right? And so if you step off a building, you're going to fall and you're going to hit the ground eventually. If you jump out of an airplane, I was in an airplane recently at about 30,000 feet, and I was looking out and I was thinking the last thing I would ever want to do is exit this airplane at this height. The last thing I would ever do. Because everything in that, you know, and you can go up in the air and everything looks, when you're up in the air, when you look down, everything looks, you know, kind of peaceful and calm and stuff like that. But there is no, nothing in that that tells me that the landing would be soft. Right. Amen? In fact, I just saw a thing. There was a person, I typed in Google. I Googled this, or I Safari'd it, however you want to do it, but I did it. Amen. I looked this up. I said, what's the highest distance that you can safely fall from and not die? Right? I put this in because I wanted to know. And they figure that at about 48 feet, or what they consider four stories, it is the height that turns from, that's where you go from to, you get to 50-50. You got a 50-50 chance. So if you jump from about 50 feet, you have a 50-50 chance of being okay on the other side, or being alive on the other side. However, the person that has, the furthest somebody has fallen and lived without a parachute was 33,300 feet or something like that. 33,300 feet. This woman was a stewardess on an airplane. There was a bomb on the airplane. The bomb blew up, blowing her out of the airplane. And she has no recollection of the fall or anything like that. She just woke up one day afterwards, after falling 33,000 feet. Now, if you don't know 33,000 feet, that's quite a distance. It's about a little over 6 miles. Amen. So if you want to know how far that is, you drive 6 miles in any direction and think about that straight up, and that's coming down. Amen. And she, and of course, she had a few broken bones, as you can imagine, but she fell. And they have ways, like if you were jumping out of an airplane and your parachute didn't open, that, you know, there's ways that you can, they say positions that you can get yourself in to try to live, but it's not very likely. So they know somebody can fall from that far, amen? But that doesn't change the fact. Gravity is real, regardless if you're falling 6 feet or 33,000 feet, amen? Praise the Lord. And the same thing is with God. The principles of the Lord work. And the reason that we do what we do is because we've seen that in our lives. We see how the principles of God work. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew 9. Praise the Lord. You might wonder why I say praise the Lord a lot. Well, if you knew what I knew, you'd praise the Lord a lot too. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe and therefore I speak. Matthew 9, verse 27. You know, somebody, I've heard religious people make this statement before. We've all heard about Jesus. If you've heard about Jesus, you probably heard about how Jesus healed people and did good things and stuff like that. And I've heard people say statements like this, that everybody, that Jesus healed everybody, that, you know, like Jesus healed everybody or everybody he came across. But that isn't true. And we see a very good principle right here. Matthew 9:27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, the first thing we're going to see here is that these two men, they followed him. So there's a difference in the speak, if you will. As you look at this, if they had just come up to Jesus and he was just standing there and he went on to do what he did, they wouldn't need to follow him. They would have just come up to him. And so the Bible would have said these two men just came up to Jesus. But it didn't say this. It said they followed him saying. Not follow him and said, but they followed him saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Now, what we're seeing here is we're seeing these men, if you can get, let me set up this picture for you. These men are following after Jesus, asking him for healing, to heal them. And Jesus is going to the destination, the place that he was going to. Notice he didn't stop. He could have healed them at any point, but he didn't. Right? That's the idea of what's being shared here. And so we see Jesus moving on. And a lot of people say, well, you know, because in there's this idea in the church world that that a minister should chase after people. Yeah. But that's not what Jesus showed us. Right. It's not my job to go make sure people come to church and do right and do the things that are. My job is to teach people the truth. Yeah. And to help them when they have issues or when they don't know the truth, to point them towards the truth so that they themselves can go live the truth. Yeah. Listen, if you don't live the truth, you're never going to have the things the truth gives you. Right. If you don't live for the Lord, you're never going to have the things that the Lord gives you. Right. How do I know this? Because listen, is there anybody that comes up to you off the street and asks you for something, you're just like, "I don't know who you are"? Yeah. Why would I give you? If somebody came up to you and said, give me half of what you made this week. Most of us would sit there and look like, "You're a fool. I'm not going to give you half of what I made." Why? Because I have no connection with you. Right. There's nothing with it. Like, or how about this? What if you came up to me and said, "You're an idiot. I don't like you. I don't like the way you do things. I think you're a jerk. I don't like your family. You know your wife? I can't stand your wife and your kids. I don't like your kids either. I hope they all die. And then you say, would you give me $20? How likely am I going to do it? See, this is how people treat God all the time. They're saying, I pray to God, but I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want anything to do with his people. I don't want anything to do with his church is his people. I don't want anything to do with what he did for me. I don't want to live for him. I want to live the way I want to live. I just want him to help me when I need help. And see, people wonder why they don't see God move. And the reason they don't see God move is because they don't know God. See, these men, they chase after Jesus, but he's like, I need something more. And see, the thing that God is requiring is not, and that's just basic respect. You don't expect things from people that you hate. You don't expect your enemies to pour out into your life. Is there anybody who does that? So why would you make an enemy of God and expect God to do anything for you? It won't happen. This world, by and large, are saying, get rid of God. We don't want God here. We don't want God here. We don't want to listen about God. We don't want to hear about God. I don't want anything to do with God. And they say, well, but where is God when this happened? I'll tell you where he is. He's right where he was the whole time, waiting for you to respond to him. See, God already proved who he was. He already proved what he did. He sent his son to give you an absolute way, an absolute proof to the things that he could do and the things that he would do. He sent his son to prove to you his love for you. And yet people reject him and they say, well, where is God? See, God isn't showing up for people who don't care. I don't care if you're a believer or not. There's many believers that fall into the same place. They're like, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe. But I don't need to go to church. Why do we show to see if you understand the purpose of why God set up church? It wasn't just so we had a place to come and take an offering up. It wasn't just so we had a place to come, so I can have a job, right? Because believe me, I had better paying jobs than many of them, glory to God, in the world. I didn't need to add this to my plate. Hallelujah. And so a lot of people have this idea that church is, and I don't say that as a, I'm telling you that that's not the true reason for coming together. That there's something more that happens when we come together. And all you have to do is look in the life of anybody who's truly connected to a church, a good church, a Bible teaching church, and you will see a change in their life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus made them come to him because he was there for them already. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Now, the saying to him, yes, Lord, is important because there's a difference. One of the things that we don't have in this world much of anymore is a little thing called respect. We don't have anything called honor. We can look at somebody who is sitting, listen, I can agree with the president or not agree with him, but I'm still going to honor him because he's the president. But we have people that look at a sitting president and they'll say all kinds of horrible things about them that aren't true. Again, I don't care which side of the aisle you're looking at; it doesn't matter because I don't trash talk presidents I don't like either. Amen. Yeah. What do? You're supposed to pray for them. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Or other people. How about your boss? A lot of people like to trash talk their boss, the one who signs that paycheck. Yeah. Oh, you say, well, I deserve it because I worked. Yeah, but he still signs it. Still signs it. There's respect. How about trash talking your parents? Anybody doing that lately? Trash talking your parents. You understand they're the ones that gave you life. I said they're the ones that gave you life. And so you don't get to trash talk them. Well, you don't understand how bad. I understand what bad parents. I have the worst. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just trying to get in trouble. Praise the Lord. She wasn't even going to get to me because Aaron was going to get to me first. She was like, I'll beat you for saying that. She said, you don't talk about your mama that way. No, I have a good mom. But I understand. I've seen it. I've seen bad parenting. I've seen bad parenting, but that doesn't give the right to just be dishonorable. What do we do? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to do, obviously, if a parent is telling you to do something that you know, especially if they were telling, my mom tries to tell me to do stuff all the time. It's not in here. And I'm like, no. I was like, get thee behind me, Satan. Just kidding. Hallelujah. That's a joke. It's not real. My mom encourages me to do the right things. Amen. But even if she didn't, that doesn't mean I wouldn't listen to her. But that doesn't mean that I could dishonor her. See, honor is something because what you sow is what you reap. Some people like to call it karma. Those are people who just didn't know that what you sow is what you reap. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so if you want people to be honorable towards you, then you need to be an honorable person. If you want people to respect you, you have to be a respectful person. Yeah. Amen. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. They recognized his lordship. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to my glorious power in heaven. Now, if you don't have a Bible before you, you wouldn't know that, what I was just doing was reading something that wasn't there. He said, according to your faith. Everybody say your faith. That means their faith. According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. Now, there's reasons for that. I'm not going to go into that today because we're focused on something else. But according to your faith, let it be to you. This statement is given over and over and over in Scripture. You know, there was a time when was it Peter or was it Paul? It was walking, Peter, I think. They were walking up to the man at the gate, and the guy said, the guy was begging. He was begging to be healed or begging for food or whatever. And Peter, and he said, perceived in him that he had faith to be healed. That he could trust to be healed. They had enough faith in God to be healed, or that it was in him. Amen. Now, this matters. This matters a lot. What we believe makes all the difference in the world. Praise the Lord. I'm really eating through the time. Some of you are like, no, it's not. But what, I don't even understand that clock back there. We put a new clock back there to tell me the time. Anybody tell me how much time I got? Some people are like, you're done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm halfway done. Okay, so that gives me and you some idea where we. So we see Jesus, the principle here, Jesus wanted to heal them. It was something he desired to do. But the question he asked them was, do you believe I can do this for you? What do you believe of God? Do you believe that God can be your help? If you don't, how are you to receive that? And that's one of the principles that's being said here. In Hebrews 11:6, we're going to pull it up here just because we know the scripture, but it's pertinent to what we're saying. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Yeah. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, not just believe that he exists, but that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who is he rewarding? Those who diligently seek him. Or you could say it this way, those who believe. Because what you believe is what you speak. You're not going to diligently seek after someone you don't believe in. Amen. If you don't believe that God is healer, you're not going to diligently seek God for healing when you need it. See, these blind men were an example of people that were diligently seeking God. He wasn't responding to them. He was going. They kept coming after him. They kept coming after him. Why did this happen? Why was Jesus just being cruel? Was he just tagging them along? No. He was showing them a principle, and he was doing it for us as well. That when you diligently seek after God, he rewards you based on what you seek him for. Now, listen, this isn't a path for us to just say, okay, now I can get whatever I want from God, so I'm just going to start seeking God and get whatever I want from him, because it doesn't work that way, because the idea of diligently seeking him isn't just saying, oh, there's something that will pay out. Yeah. It's saying, no, this one is the one that I need to be connected to. Right. This is who I need to follow after. Amen? Praise the Lord. He is rewarding the one who believes in him. Amen. Turn with me to Psalm 84. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 84. We're going to go with verse 10. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in your courts, that's God's courts, is better than a thousand. The idea is a thousand somewhere else. A day in his courts or in his presence is better than a thousand elsewhere. You know, there's a song we sing that's like that, you know, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I would rather be the person that greets at the door, that opens the door, or that watches the door. Praise the Lord. than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And that means in the wealth and the party of the wicked. You know, I would rather be in the thing that's mundane with God. You understand that the parallel that it's making here. I remember when we were in New York City, this blessed me greatly. There was a homeless man there that was at McDonald's. It was at a McDonald's, I think. And I think my wife, we might have been stopping in just to use the bathroom or something like that. Yeah, and it was me because I was going in there, obviously. And so I went there, and this guy just, he had a cup there, and he held the door for you. And it really blessed me greatly because I'm like, here, this man's getting creative. Yeah. So I put money in his cup. And I'll tell you, and I won't put money in just anybody's cup because there's people that are begging that don't need it. But I try to be led by that because I want to be a blessing to people. But I don't believe in just like, you know, if somebody just doesn't want to do anything, I don't believe in giving them everything they want just because they exist. But, this man was doing something. But this is the idea. There was nothing glorious about what he was doing. In fact, it could be said that a little bit, it would put him in a little bit of shame because here's this man just standing at a door, obviously homeless, being in front of everybody that goes through this door, and he's open. You know something? He didn't even ask for money. He just had the cup there. If you want to put it in, put it in. And if you don't, I'm going to still hold the door for you. It just blessed me so much to see that. And I thought, man, I think as I teach this, man, that's faith. You know, that's understanding that there's blessing in doing what they were doing. You know, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be the guy that holds the door in God's house because I understand who he is than to be in all the parties and all the lavish riches of Hollywood. Amen. For the and this is why, because it goes on here in verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. What is a sun and a shield? Well, you think about what the sun does for us. It gives us a lot of light. It shows us the way that we're going. There's very few people that stumble in the light. Amen? That we can see where we're going. And so it's a path. Our path is lit up and it's easy to walk. You don't have to worry about what's coming out of the bushes because you can see into the bushes. Amen? And you don't have to worry about what's coming down the road because you can see what's coming down the road. Amen? You can see what's out there. And so that's part of what it is. But the sun is more than that, isn't it? Doesn't the sun give us warmth? You know, when I've noticed this, that even on a chilly day, when you get into the sun, it warms you up. Amen. My dog, my little Cassie dog, you've heard me mention her many times, but she will love it. She'll find that spot where the sun is coming through the window and just flop down and lay there, almost just like she's just like dead. She just lays there, all just kind of sprawled out, soaking up the sun. Amen. And it says here, it tells us that the Lord God is a sun and a shield. And of course, shield is the idea of protection, that he protects us, that he keeps us out of harm's way. Amen. Why would I rather be just a doorman in the house of the Lord? Because there's no protection. There's no warmth. There's no light out there in the world living the way the world does. The light and the protection comes when you reside with God. Amen. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace is God's ability. When he puts grace on us, it's the ability that we didn't have before. God's grace is literally his ability upon us. Amen. When the Bible says that by grace you have been saved, not of yourselves, but because of what Jesus did, it was an ability. You couldn't save yourself. But Jesus, he put his grace upon us. Amen. Glory to God. And God's glory is an exaltation. Glory is magnificence. Glory is when you see a new Mercedes roll out of a garage that's just been waxed and it's been washed and waxed and made to shine. That's glorious. Hallelujah. When you go, if you find a piece of gold or something like that and you take it to a jeweler and they polish it up and they shine it and you look at it and you're just like, wow, now it's something. If you've ever seen a dull piece of gold, there's nothing attractive about it. But when you look at a piece of gold that's been polished, a new ring that's been polished, it's like, wow, that's glorious. And so that's what he wants to put on us. He wants to put his glory on us. Amen. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Notice that there's a connection there. It doesn't say no good thing will he withhold from those who accept his son, but no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, who walk right before him, who walk in the way that the Lord would have him walk. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man or woman, it means mankind really, who trusts in you. Why do we trust in God? Why do we follow after God? Why do we believe in God? Why do we magnify God in our lives? Because blessed is the man who trusts in him. I'm blessed. The way my wife and my life changed was through God, through connecting to God, through trying to walk uprightly, to being in that place. You know, I read there, as I read through those few Psalms several times, and in my Bible, they were all capitalized, every letter of the word Lord. Yeah. That word Lord literally means the existing one. To believe that God lives is to believe that God is active. If you truly believe in who God is, you don't just believe that he exists, but he exists as he is, as he says he is. Yes. Hallelujah. We must try not just to arbitrarily believe in God, but in who he is. It matters what you speak about him.
Right.
It matters what you say about him. And some people think it's a joke, and that's okay. It's okay if you think it's a joke, but you will have nothing from him.
Right.
And then there will be a day that you will face him, and you will answer for it.
Yeah.
And he'll say, all the things that I did for you, you laughed, but you won't laugh anymore. See, there is a seriousness to life, and life, you know, I know that life is just, you know, we live in America after all. We're given this this culture where, well, I have a right to believe what I want and think what I want and do whatever I want, and that's fine. You can do whatever you want. And in fact, even in if you think about our wonderful state, they even are giving more power back to criminals. They're saying, you know what, we're not even going to put you in jail now for doing what you want. You can just go out there and rob somebody, and in California they do the same thing, and you can take whatever you want, and we're not even going to prosecute you. We won't even put you in jail. And see, people think they're getting away with something, and that's funny. It's funny for a time. But there will be a day that they answer for it. There will be a day when you're sitting here, and I'm just telling you, whether you believe me or not, doesn't really matter to me, because it's about you and him. But there will be a day when the very words that you're hearing by sitting here today, God will hold you accountable for. He will say, because you could walk out of here and you can say, you know what? I'm not saying you have to join this church. But I'm talking about God. I'm talking about believing in God. I'm talking about putting trust in something that's greater than you are. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're not that great. Your ideas, they're not that wonderful. The way you've planned life, how good is that working for you? How well does that work out? How rich has it made you? What kind of position has it put you in? And maybe we got somebody in here in a great position. I'm going to tell you something too, because I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know what your job is, but I'm going to share something to take it even a little bit further. Maybe you're the top dog. Maybe you make the most. Maybe you could buy and sell every single one of us. There will be a day when none of that is going to matter. There will be a day where everything you've built on this earth, because whether you like it or not, the Bible tells us death is the destiny of every man. You are going to die. And you've got to answer for something. Now, maybe you don't believe that anything happens after you die, and that's fine. You can believe that. Glory to God. But you do understand I didn't plan on preaching any of this today. It's just... We're just getting into it, amen? Praise the Lord. But I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I can say this with all sincerity. I could almost point at you and tell you that the thing that I'm speaking is cutting you to your heart.
Yes.
That it's either making you really mad at me, or it's making you really question the way that you've been living and the way that you've been thinking. And I'm not just saying that if we have visitors here. Don't think I'm just talking to you. I'm talking about everybody who shows up here every Sunday. Praise the Lord. Maybe the things that I'm saying are cutting you too, because how we live matters. It doesn't matter that you just put the Christian stamp and now I wear a cross and praise the Lord, I'm one of his. How you live and how you believe and how you share that, how you look to the world matters. All these things of who we are, they matter. They make a difference. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord means the existing one. There are many gods. There's many people that believe in many different gods. Oh, this is the way and that's the way. And you can believe in many different ways, but no one has proven themselves like the Lord. In fact, no one has proven themselves at all except the Lord. When you look at the actual, but see, here's the thing. I could sit down with any person and I could start giving the proof. I could start pouring it out. But the truth of the matter is, if you have a heart that does not want to receive it, if you have a heart that says, I'm not going to believe in any of that anyways, then you won't. And so there's no amount of proof, because that's one thing I've learned. You can have proof to something, but people don't care about proof. They care about what they want. Amen. That's why I've learned to change what I want, because what I want deceives me. What I want deceives me. And again, I'm not just talking to visitors. I'm talking to everybody. If there's anybody online, we have people online, praise the Lord. If there's anybody watching online, or if anyone does watch online, I'm talking to you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. The best thing that we can do for the world is to show them God and to lead them to Him. It's the only way that we walk uprightly. When we exhibit to the world who our God is. Your prayers can make power available for others, but it can't necessarily change things for them. Your prayers can make power available to others. We can pray, but we can't change, because each and every one of us is given this wonderful gift called free will. You can choose or you can choose not. Turn with me to Hebrews 13. Praise Jesus. We're getting close. Getting close. And I'll just say this, and I don't know if anybody in here absolutely hates me. I'd like to think that you don't. Because honestly, I'm not here to hurt you. I am here to help people. But even if you absolutely hate me, it'll all be over soon. That's what I always tell myself, like when I get on a roller coaster. If I don't like this, it's only like 2 minutes long. It'll be over quickly. Amen. Sometimes, the whole time, it's like, but it's over quickly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, 20. Praise the Lord. Now may God, the God of peace, look at this, He's a God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is working in us. He desires to work in us, bring to completeness the works that we do. That when we do things, when we go out there and we live, we can understand that there is an end result that can be glorious. There's an end result that can be worth it. Have you ever done anything that wasted your time? And then at the end of it, you thought, man, I wasted my time. Do you know how many years that I wasted believing that I was never going to be nothing? That I was never going to be anything at all? That I was never going to make anything of myself? How many years I wasted trying to figure out a way? And the whole time, God was willing to give me the way. God was willing to give me the way for my life. And of course, He'll give you a way for your life too. But that's exactly what He desires to do. And He does it with the same power in which He raised Jesus from the dead. Glory to God. Praise Jesus. Now, we're going to end here. We're going to go to Philippians 1. You know, it's amazing, because this book, as you go through it, and if you're willing to look at it, and again, I'm talking to believers too. If you're willing to look at what the Word says, it'll change your life. It'll change your situation. It'll change the place where you're at if you're willing to look at it. You know, that's the thing. Like, there's you can have the best product in the world, but if people aren't willing to partake of it. You know, we tell my kids this all the time. We make our kids try foods they don't like. You know what I mean? Like, we do this, don't we, all the time. We're having it all the time. We make you try foods you don't like. Or you don't think that you like. Or you don't, I should say, foods you don't want to try. Because sometimes you find something. Like, I never wanted to try things like crab and lobster. And then when I did, I was like, man, I love this stuff. I never wanted to try sushi. Now you can't get me to stop eating this stuff. Yeah, right? Yuck, but it's good. Praise the Lord. Aaron, we're taking you to sushi. You got to go to sushi. Praise the Lord. Well, some sushi's cooked. Partway. Philippians 1:13. Hallelujah. Is that what I said? Yeah. 1:3. I'm putting numbers together here. Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of this grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Through knowledge and discernment, through knowledge, the knowledge of the truth, as that gets in us, that's what enables us, if we are free from offense, to be fruitful in God. How do we see things through to the end? By learning about the Lord. By knowing what it is, by changing what it is we speak. What comes out of us is what we believe, and what we believe matters. If you believe in God, if you trust in God, you've already learned this to a degree, but you need to learn to trust him more. You know, trusting God is not just something, well, I trust God and then it's over. No, you have to trust God for every area of your life. You have to learn to infuse God into every area of your life, because as you do that, you become less like you and more like him. And that's where the glory is. That's what God has intended for us. That's what Jesus has paid for. Praise the Lord.